Let's go to the book of Psalm, chapter 27 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4. Praise God. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to be in God's house. It really can't be overstated that it's a wonderful thing to be at the gate of heaven. Amen. To stand at the gate of heaven. And that doesn't mean that heaven speaks every time, but bless your heart, there are times that heaven speaks and gives you a vision and gives you a promise. Amen. I'm thankful for that this morning. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. One thing have I desired. Amen. Everybody said one thing. One thing. I've preached on this before, not the same message, but there is one thing that we need, and that is desire. Desire. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the holy word. Thank you for your holy presence that's here this morning. We ask you to lay your hand upon this message. Let the word find its mark in every heart in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Put your Bible down and let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your blessing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Our God is great, greatly to be praised. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, the important things in life come down to one thing, really, when it's all said and done. Whatever you dream for and whatever your hope for your life, it always comes down to one thing. And it's not happen chance, and it's not luck, and it's not anything of that sort. It's not obstacles or circumstances that will determine your future. People can't stop you when you have this one thing. And that one thing is desire. Everybody said desire. Amen. I'm not talking about a hope or a dream, although these in themselves are necessary. But hopes and dreams are not complete in themselves. They will give you a sense of direction and purpose, but hope and dreams in themselves are not going to see you across the finish line. There's only one thing that's going to get you across the finish line, and that's desire. Amen. Desire is an extreme longing to get somewhere important. The word desire here in the scriptural context means to covet in a godly or an ungodly sense. It also means to lust after something until it becomes a reality. Amen. And we're going to look at this here this morning a little bit. But desire in itself comes in different degrees. And one degree of desire is selfish desire or carnal or fleshly desire. And then, of course, there is a desire for the most important things in life, and that is a desire for God. Amen. Jesus, of course, was approached by a young man who had a wish. He didn't have a desire, but he had a wish. It was a request, and it was not exactly as he asked as a desire, but he wanted a confirmation of his own goodness and disguised it with a question. Amen. People come and they ask questions, but a lot of times their question is not a question, it's a statement. Amen. And the question here was designed so that the person answering the question felt obligated to answer it in a favorable way. And we find it here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, all the way down through verse 21. It says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Amen. Everybody said he came running and he kneeled. He kneeled to him and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was really playing the game here. He didn't walk up to the Lord. He ran to him, fell down on his knees. Amen. Who could give him but a favorable answer to any question that he had? And Jesus was probing him, and he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I believe he was one of the called to be an apostle. That's my own personal opinion. He loved him and said unto him, one thing. Everybody said one thing. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Well, praise God. Wouldn't you like the Lord to just say to you, there's only one thing? Amen. I've got more than one thing I'm working on. Praise God. I know that you're probably just working on one thing, but this young man just had one thing. One thing thou lackest. He said, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, the Lord is so awesome. He can get it right down to where we need to be. Praise God. He doesn't play games. He doesn't do this little dance and dance thing here with the questions. He knew that with the Pharisees that came and they had questions. They were very important questions, but he went beyond the question. He went beyond the statements and always got it right down to the heart of the matter. Amen. And this is exactly what he did. And in this particular story in Scripture, achievement here was not the focus of the master's answer. Amen. It was desire. Amen. What do you want? What do you desire? We heard that this Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, what do you want most of all in life? And so the great teacher here wanted to know what the greatest desire of this young man was, and I believe he did this to draw him out, amen, to draw him out from his cover so he could tell him the things that he really needed to hear, amen. He told him, he said, obey the commandments. And he said, which ones? And he said the list. He didn't give all of the Ten Commandments, but he gave the ones that surely this young man was doing and had done since he was young. Jesus understood this. He knew this. And so he asked him a question, I believe, to draw him into his camp. Amen. To draw him close to him, because the Bible says that when Jesus looked at him, he loved him. Amen. There was something in the heart of this young man that had tremendous potential. There was something inside of him that had great potential for his future, but not just potential for the future, but potential for the kingdom of God. And as I look out here this morning, there is tremendous potential in this place. Amen. There is potential in each and every one of us, but we must come down to the place where we say, there is one thing that I desire more than anything else in all of this world. And when we get to the place where we can say that, and we can pick up our cross and we can carry it, And we can, in a very real sense of the word, become poor in spirit and understand that everything we have has come from God. Then God can use us in a mighty way. Well, praise the Lord. Just one thing. Amen. And he was basically saying, I want to see what your one thing is. Amen. Because we all have our one thing. And you're going to desire it. That one thing that's most important is desire. And you're going to desire it. You're going to seek for it with the strength of your being. Amen. Just one thing, young man. One thing that you lack, and it is desire for God. It's not ability. It's not what you can do. He said, Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He was into performance. He was into performance relationships. And no doubt, because he was really good at doing things, he expected everybody else around him to do things. Amen. He became probably very demanding. You can become demanding on your wife or demanding on your husband or your friends or whatever relationship that we're talking about here this morning. You can become demanding when your relationship comes down to performance. But I thank God this morning I'm not saved because of my performance, because there are many, many times that my performance fell short. But my salvation never fell short. Praise God. Because it's not all about what I do. It's all about who I know and what is in my heart. God does not look on the outside. There's nothing you can do that will impress God, because God can do everything and anything. You could give the most largest offering. Amen. You could keep certain commandments. You can be really good at some things. Amen. But what is it down deep in your heart that you desire? That's the one thing right there. What is the end result of what you're doing? What is the goal that you're reaching for ultimately? What is the very thing that is very most important to you in your life? And that's where you're going to find your desire. Praise God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And it says, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Amen. Martha was there and received him. Martha was the lady of the house. She was the cook. She was the hostess. And what a privilege and what an honor it was to have Jesus come to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, I could hear him say it, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing, everybody said one thing. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, this morning, your desire is going to take you somewhere. Your desire will take you to the kitchen where you've got to cook a meal. Desire will take you to the feet of Jesus and lay everything else aside. Jesus understood that there was a time to eat dinner. He understood there was a time to do these sorts of things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a time to eat and there's a time to sit at the feet of the master. Praise God. That's why when we come to the house of God, we don't eat food in the house of God. That's why we don't drink drinks in the house of God. Now, I do. I violate my own rule. Amen. But I use my voice and I have to have something to drink to soothe my voice. But that's why when we come to the house of God, there is a time, it is a time that we come to focus upon the desire of our heart. Amen. How did you feel this morning when you got up? Well, not physically, but I'm talking spiritually here this morning. How did you feel? What did you, did something leap up in your heart and said, there's one thing I want to do today. I want to get to the house of God and I want to hear the word of God. Amen. Or is it, oh, it's church time. We got to go through our religious obligation. I'm telling you, there is a difference between victory and defeat, and it comes down to your desire. Praise God. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. I'm here because I was excited about coming. Amen. I was here because I see the importance of being here in the house of God. Amen. And so Martha is there. And Martha, again, is one of those performance-based people. And her pride and her desire was for the guests, and not just her guests, but her husband and her children, to say, wow, Mom, that was a great meal. Thank you so much for doing that. I know a little bit about this. Women, especially women that do the cooking and all of that, I know things have changed in our generation. But if it's your responsibility to prepare the meals, you get a good feeling down inside when everybody praises you. My, that was just perfect. That came out just right. And Martha was that kind of a woman. She was the one that prepared the meals and very, very concerned that all goes well. If there was such a thing as a blood pressure cup, that they could have put upon Martha's arm during this event here. It's not just a regular visitor that's coming to my house. Jesus the Master is coming to my house. I've got to get out the best dishes. I've got to get out my best silverware. I've got to get the right napkins in place. I've got to make sure that everything comes out of the oven at the same time, so that we don't have something cold and something hot. Amen. She was thinking about all these things, and if you could have taken her blood pressure, I'm sure it was elevated. Amen. Because this is a very important time, and I want everything to go right. And that's an honorable thing. I'm not putting that down at all this morning. It's a very honorable thing. Amen. But there's a time for everything. Praise God. There's a time. The wise man said there's a time for everything. Amen. And the time here, yes, there was going to be a meal, but it was time to hear what the master had to say. Praise God. It was time, but she was back there. You could hear, if I would have brought some pots and pans. We do that with our little grandson, and he can sit up really good, and so we get out pots and pans and put them there in front of him, and he beats one of them like a tambourine and bangs them together and loves the noise of the pots and pans. You can always tell when a woman is busy in the kitchen. You'll hear her talking to somebody, but she's talking to herself. Amen. You can hear the dishes clanging and all that. Amen. Is anybody happy here this morning? Y'all look like you've been through a knot hole backwards. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, it's not performance-based. It is relationship-based. And this performance that she was very concerned about caused noise, and she would probably pull back the curtain and look to see where Mary was, because we've got this meal we've got to put on. And probably she pulled the curtain back and looked and shook her head and went back and said, well, if I got to do it, I'm just going to do it and get this done. And time went on, and she probably pulled the curtain back again. And maybe, you know, you got to pay attention to the vibes or to the message that's coming. Probably they heard a... And then the curtain went shut, and then there was the banging of the pots and pans again as she continue on her journey here, her desire to do this meal, amen. What she really desired here was praise from the Master, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all need to be praised, and we all need to be thanked, amen. Don't ever take your wife or your mother for granted when she prepares that good meal for you. Amen. And don't get to the place where you say, I don't want to eat that. That's nasty. Amen. I'll tell you what you're doing. Well, praise God. Take my glasses off so I can see you a little bit better. Hey, what you're doing is you're cutting to the heart because a woman's identity is in her home. Amen. A man's identity is in his job and his accomplishments. And so what you're doing is cutting right to the heart of your mother or your wife's desire. Praise God. If you want to have burnt toast and burnt eggs in the morning, just say that a few times. And some of you are saying, I don't get anything in the morning. Well, you already probably crossed over that line. Praise God. You probably crossed over that line a long time ago. But the way to get a good meal consistently, amen, is to praise someone. They'll go out of their way to do the very best that they can. That was Martha's spirit. That was her attitude. And it was a good attitude, because what we put our hands to, what our hands find to do, the Bible says, do it with your might. Amen. Do the best job you can do. If you mow grass, do the best job you can do. If you work in a factory, do the best that you can do. Well, praise God. Don't be sloppy. Don't be lazy about what you do, because we've only got one opportunity in life to get it done and to get it done right. Amen. And I don't stop very often. I'm moving quite a bit, doing this, that, and the other. Amen. And it's easy to get tired, but friend, I'll be able to get some rest when I get to heaven. Praise God. We got to do things. We're accomplishers. God gave Adam authority because he wanted them to accomplish some things. Amen. God did not build cities. He gave raw materials and expected us to take those raw materials and to build cities and cars and whatever else that we have available to us today. It is the will of God that we work. Amen. It is the will of God that we work hard. Amen. Or if in some cases, work smart. Amen. And that's usually the better way to do it. But there are times that it's hard. You got to get out in the heat and mow the grass. You've got to do things, around the house or in your life or on your vehicle, whatever it is. And it takes energy and it takes drive and it takes desire. Martha had that desire. But there was another desire that was here, and that was Mary's desire. And the Bible says she came and sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I can almost look at the facial features of Mary. She wasn't at all wanting to accomplish anything. She was just wanting to soak up the word that Jesus was saying. Amen. She wasn't sitting there thinking about the meal. She wasn't sitting there thinking about what she was going to do after the meal. She wasn't thinking about anything. I can just see her face this morning as she sat at the feet of Jesus, and it was a gaze. I don't even know what the word that I could use, but it was just like a brightness in her face. She wasn't sitting there like this. No. No, she had a look on her face, a look of desire. Amen. A look of desire. Praise God. She was focused totally and completely. She forgot about her sister completely. And even though she heard the noises and all of that, she probably thought, she'll be okay. I'm going to stay right here. Amen. And Jesus was talking, and she probably, wow. Wow, who knows what he said that day, but he was talking. Everybody was listening. And maybe he was talking about some parables. Maybe he was talking about the things concerning the kingdom of God, which we know he was. And there was a desire in her heart. You know where I'm coming from here this morning, but folks, I'm telling you what, if we don't have desire, we're never going to get to our destination. Come on, somebody. We're never going to get to our destination if we don't have a good, strong desire down in our hearts. Amen. Mary, she was the helper, but she wasn't helping at all, but rather sitting in the living room just having a good old time. Amen. I remember one time, it's been many years ago, and the gentleman that was involved in this has since passed away. In fact, passed away recently. John and we were in the church together. We were in the city of Boston, and we were doing in Framingham, which is outside of Boston a little ways. We were doing a yard sale for the church, and you know, those things never cease. Amen. We've been doing those for a long time. And we're doing a yard sale, and it's over with, and we're cleaning up, and I'm just playing with the kids. Amen. I'm tickling them. I'm chasing them. I'm playing with the kids, just having a good time, and just happy to be there, just happy to do something for God. And all of a sudden, this friend of mine, he said, well, just go ahead and let me do it all. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I thought, oh no, he's upset. He wasn't hard to get upset at you anyway. And I said, what? He said, yeah, all you're doing is playing around, and I'm doing all the work. And you're just having a good time. And then he said, and by the way, you're not my friend anymore. You know, folks can get pretty upset when the whole thing rests upon their shoulder. But the reality of it is, their heart was not really in it. Amen. And the end of the story was, we became friends again. Amen. I went and talked to the pastor and said, what do I do? He said, if I know anything about John, he'll come around and apologize. Just be friendly, just be yourself, and don't change anything. And lo and behold, a week or two went by, and he come up to me with his head down. He said, I'm sorry for what I said. Hey, no problem. We're still friends. Praise God. But I still, to this day, enjoy playing with the kids rather than cleaning up after a yard sale. Praise God. There's some things in life that are just fun, and those little ones are so much fun. Amen. And moms and dads are saying, well, they're a lot of work, but I think they're a lot of fun, especially when you're a grandpa. Amen. And so she's doing that. She's sitting at her feet, and Mary, her sister, you know, sibling rivalry. Probably Martha knew she knew her sister's attitude and her way of approaching life. Mary was kind of a happy-go-lucky. She was the one that was joyful and always looked at the good things. Mary was that kind of a person. Martha was the kind of person that if it didn't go right, she got really upset. Amen. Because it was all about her performance. It was all about how things come out in the end. But friend, I want to tell you this morning, it's not all about that today. Praise God. There's one thing I desire. One thing. Amen. And that is to sit at the feet of the Master and hear the Word of God. There's going to be plenty of time for labor, plenty of time to get things right, plenty of time to get a pat on the back. Praise God. But it is always, always, always important that when the Master comes around, we got to lay everything aside and listen to what the Master has to say. Praise God. It's not just another sermon. Oh, I get to hear the Word of God. I'm going to lay my troubles out on the front porch. I'm going to lay all of my burdens aside for just a little while. They're going to be there when I leave this place. Amen. They're still going to be waiting for me. But there's a time that our desire goes above and beyond our accomplishments. Come on, somebody help me this morning. When our desire goes above and beyond our accomplishments, and we say it's time to stop everything. That's hard for some of us to do. It's time to stop everything and find a place to pray until I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've learned that if I will pray, the day goes better. Amen. Because it is the most important thing to sit at the feet of the Master. And so Martha, she made it a public thing. Amen. She finally couldn't take it anymore. And she pushed the curtain aside, marched out, and had her apron turned sideways. Amen. And you know that story, right? Some of you shaking your head, no. Good, I get to tell it again. Amen. Now those of you that have heard it, laugh like you never heard it before. Well, y'all just look pitiful here this morning. We got an invitation for a wedding down in Texas. Brother Ashton and Sister Naomi are getting married. And this couple decided, not that couple, but they decided that that when he come home from work, if he had a bad day, he'd turn his tie to the side. And she would know he had a bad day so she could help him out. And then they decided if she'd turn her apron over to the side, that she'd had a bad day and he'd know not to give her any grief, you know, to help her out and praise her and go the second mile. And that worked pretty good until he come home with his tie to the side and she had her apron over to the side. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to mess with the cook. Praise God, because you're going to have burnt toast. You're going to have burnt potato chip chicken. Amen. If you mess with the cook and get her upset, well, she got upset and she made it a public situation. And she marched in, gave a huff and a puff with her voice, had her arms crossed, and started talking to Jesus in front of everybody. And she said, Master, I'm laboring in there. I'm working my fingers to the bone to help you folks. And you don't appreciate what I'm doing. All you're doing is sitting around laughing and talking. All you're doing is listening to the Master. And Lord, my sister's sitting right there, and look at the sweat pouring off of me. Don't you realize that I am just working so hard? Why don't you tell her to get up and come and help me? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And the Master answered and said, Martha, Martha. And praise God, probably shook his head a little bit. Martha, Martha. Oh, God bless you, Martha. You're such a good woman, Martha. You've got some good qualities, Martha. There's some things about you that I really like. And I'm gonna tell you that I appreciate this meal because I really do appreciate this meal. He said, you're busy. You're so busy about things. Amen. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Praise God. Careful and troubled about many things. Oh, it's hard in life when there are so many things that someone is troubled about. Praise God. Troubled about this, worried about that, troubled about this, worried about that. just making sure everything is exactly right. And that's a good quality, to a point, that is a good quality. But there's got to be a disconnect. You got to be able to throw your life into neutral, as it were, and just sit there for a while. Amen. I go home Custer Lane sometimes, and a number of times I've gotten stopped by the train as it goes by, and sometimes the train will stop and just completely block the road. It's not even moving, and it's not too long until people throw them into reverse. They back up and go another way, and I know the way they're going, and by the time I get to the end of the road, here they come the other way. They've been fighting traffic and gunning the car and using more gas, trying to get somewhere faster. But I get there the same time they do. Amen. Kind of like that guy or that lady that's driving in and out of traffic. You ever seen that? I'm sure nobody's probably ever seen that. And they're cutting in and out of the traffic, just giving a couple of feet and moving in and moving out, trying to get to where they're going. And you get to a light, and you're taking it easy, just having a good time. You get to the light, and they pull up beside you on the light. And they've increased their risk of accidents and all kinds of things, but they're troubled and they're careful. I got to get to where I'm going. It's an important thing. And maybe it was a very important thing to them. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get so upset with making the meals of life. Amen. That I forget to stop, put it in neutral, and say, God, you've given me a little vacation here. Amen. I'm going to take the next 5 minutes and thank you for your blessings. I'm just going to relax a little bit and enjoy the train as it goes by. Praise God. Well, praise God. Amen. Are you enjoying the train as it goes by? Amen. Hopefully you're not looking at your watch here this morning. But he said you're careful about many things. You're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Amen. I want to find that one thing in my life. And that one thing this morning is desire. Praise God. Amen. What do you desire? Amen. And her one thing probably happened because of her desire. She was in there cooking, but Mary was out there listening. Amen. And one thing was important above all else, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Does anybody here this morning desire greatness? Greatness in God? Amen. Greatness in God, anything that is great can only be found where desire resides. Amen. Not a desire for the things of this world, but a desire for God. And we read this morning where the king of Israel, David, wrote, and David went through a lot of things. David was a man that accomplished a lot of things. But I think the thing about David that made him so great, of course, it was his desire for God. But in David's heart, there was just desire. Amen. And if he was going to do something, he desired to do the very best that he could do with that one thing. If he was going to be a shepherd, he was going to be the very best shepherd he could be. He had a desire to please his father. David could accomplish great things, but then David had that ability to throw it out of gear and to just stop and pray and focus and get a hold of God. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful spirit that David had. Amen. It's a spirit that we need to have. Amen. And he said, one thing have I desired. Amen. One thing have I desired. What do you desire this morning? What is the thing that is most important in your heart today? What is the thing that you think about the most? The thing that you talk about the most? The thing that you enjoy the most in life. Praise God. There's nothing like feeling the power of the Holy Ghost when we come together. Amen. I pray every service, God, let me feel your presence. Because, folks, I'm not here to go through a program. I'm not here to just go through a religious situation. I want to feel God when I come to the house of God. I want to know that he's still there. Praise God. I want to feel that love as he wraps his arms around me and tells me one more time, I love you, son. It's going to be all right. Praise God. That's the thing that I desire more than anything in all of this world. And God knows my heart today. The horror of horrors, the most horrible place that I could ever find myself is at a place without God. What a horrible place that would be. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Praise God. So what you desire is what you're going to seek after. If you desire something material in this life, you're going to be looking every day in Craigslist for it. You're going to be watching to see if it's on sale. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. Saves you money. But you're watching. You're looking really close. And all of a sudden, it comes open. You strike while the iron's hot, and there it is. You got it. Amen. That's what desire is this morning. David said, "What I desire is what I'm going to seek after." And he wrote about it in Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 through 5, to the chief musician. And he said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise." Anybody got joy and praise here this morning? I didn't think so. Amen. "With a multitude that kept holy day." Oh, he said, "I love to go to church. I love to be there. I'm going to the house of God." But when he went to the house of God, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Amen. Why am I here and feeling this way? Why do I come to the house of God and the preacher preaches about joy and having the joy of the Lord, but I come with it without joy and I leave without joy? Amen. Why am I disquieted in me? I'll tell you what, if you'll be honest with yourself this morning, and I don't want to heap condemnation on any situations that you might be facing, but when it comes down to the bottom line of it, we're unhappy and we don't have joy because we're not getting something that we want. Amen. We're not receiving something that we desire. Amen. And what we desire may or may not become a reality. Amen. You can supersede those feelings. You can supersede. Now, I'm not telling you you'll never get depressed. I'm not telling you this morning that you'll never be upset. But I will say this morning. It is not the will of God for us to be depressed all the time. It is not the will of God for us to not have joy all the time. Because eventually you're going to find, amen, it's a result of your desire. Well, I want things to work out different than they've worked out. And it's not working out the way I planned, and so I'm not happy. You see, it comes down to your desire this morning. The thing that you desire the most. And David said, "I've come to church and my soul is disquieted in me. There's no peace in my soul." Amen. "I'm cast down. I come with my head down. I come with my spirit down. And then he says, why are you disquieted in me? I'll tell you this morning, I'll give you a little secret here, and it's really not a secret. You've got to be able, if you're going to have the joy of the Lord and the victory of God in your life, you've got to have the ability to look introspectively. You've got to be able to talk to yourself, amen, and say, why am I this way? Amen. Why am I feeling this way? Rather than giving in to the spirit of that thing, whatever it is, giving in to the spirit of depression, giving in to the spirit that takes away your joy, you got to be able to look inside and say, what is going on? What is the bottom line of why I feel the way that I feel? Praise God. And when it all comes down to it, it's going to come down to your desire. Well, this is what I want, and I'm not getting it, so I'm not happy. Amen. Listen, it's not, and I said this at the very beginning, your success in life, amen, is not based upon circumstances. It is not based upon any obstacle that you may face. People can't stop you when you have this one thing, and that one thing is a desire for God. Amen. I want to sit at His feet. I'm not going to worry about the pots and pans right now. They'll take care of themselves later. Amen. I'm sitting at the feet of the Master, and I'm going to let Him infuse into me some joy, into my spirit, and into my heart. Amen. And if you can get to the place where you can lay all the other desires aside, amen, and say, there's one thing that I desire. There is one thing that I'm going to seek for, and that's the joy of the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, there's some here this morning, you haven't been happy for a long time. You need to sit down and take some time from your busy schedule and say, why am I not happy? Amen. What's going on in my spirit? And if the answer is, well, so-and-so said this, or so-and-so said that, or did that, I'm telling you, you're missing the mark this morning. Praise God. We can't look to other people for our joy. Well, praise God. We cannot look to other people for our happiness in life. We've got to be able to look to the Lord in everything. Well, praise God. One thing I desire, and that's what I'm going to seek for. But he came and he said, why are you disquieted in me? David was talking to his own soul. Why are you cast down, O soul of mine? Amen. God's given us that unique ability to do that. But I think so many that come to Pentecostal pews, yes, apostolic pews, and anywhere else, any other religion or anything that you want to talk about here this morning, and they come to the house of God, and they have resigned themselves to no happiness. Everything's bad, and it's going to get worse. You know, the popular thing is, how are you today? And I've decided I'm not just going to say, oh, I'm doing good. No, I've decided, and I say this very often when someone's serving me at a restaurant or whatever, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm doing fantastic, and I'm expecting it to get better. Praise God. And it throws them off. It throws them off. They stop for a minute, and they think about it. I'm fantastic, and I'm expecting it to get better. You say, well, Pastor, you don't have the financial troubles I have, and you don't deal with the situations that I deal with. Hey, I'll tell you what, this morning, I could probably sit down and go tit for tat. Amen. You got this problem? Well, listen to my problem. Amen. You got this situation? Well, listen to mine, all right? We'll see who's worse off. Amen. But I'm not going to do that. Praise God. You know what? I'm going to seek for something, and that seeking is going to be a desire for God in everything. When was the last time somebody asked you how you're doing, and you said, fantastic, expecting it to get better? Amen. While your back's hurting. Amen. While you got a headache. Amen. When everything is going wrong. We're not playing games with words here. What we need to do is express the reality of our heart. Amen. Well, praise God. When things start going wrong rapidly, just look down there at that little bundle by your side and say, you know what? It's really not that bad. God's been good to me. Praise the Lord. I can say, oh, I can't see my grandchildren, but one of them's coming this week. Praise God. And I'm looking forward to it and expecting good things to happen. You just hang on. You're going to get your grandson. Amen. You're going to get your granddaughter. Praise God. And if you don't, you still got your God. Amen. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Praise God. We need to be able to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, instead of saying, Lord, Lord, it's morning. Amen. Praise God, because God's been good to you. Brother and Sister Tucker, God's been good to you. Praise the Lord. A victory report on their son's surgery. And the doctor said it's a textbook. We have never seen him get up that quickly and walk that much. We thank God for that this morning. I'm not going to wallow in my troubles. I'm not going to wallow in my pride. I'm not going to have a desire for something I'm never going to be able to get. Because if you do that, you're going to be unhappy all the days of your life. We got something to shout about this morning. Salvation. Holy Ghost. Victory. My sins are washed away. God is in my life. He hears me when I pray. Amen. He answers my prayers. He's walking beside me. Oh, yes. But I'll tell you what, there are so many that are panging the pots and the pans. There's so many that are doing this, that, and the other. Well, if I could only do this, I would be happy. Amen. If I could only do this, you know, in pastoring, it's very easy. And not here necessarily, but there are difficult times in any church. There's difficult times. And it always goes back to management, praise the Lord. Management is always the problem. And, well, not always, but, you know, it rests upon the shoulder of management. And there are times in my younger years when I said, you know what? This is a hopeless cause. I'm getting out of here. Didn't pray about it. Didn't ask God for direction. I just saw it as a hopeless situation, and I just left. First church I pastored was a charismatic church. I'm going to be careful what I say this morning because I know this. Some may be even listening live. Praise the Lord for you that are listening live this morning. But everything that could go wrong had already been going wrong for a long time before I ever got there. And this charismatic spirit that talks about love, you've heard about that. Oh, we've got to love one another. We cannot judge and all of this. I'll tell you what, there's a backside to that spirit. And it's a mean, it's cruel, it's hard, it's nasty. And I'll tell you, I can't go into details. I don't want to go into the details. But I looked around after 1 year. We baptized one girl in the church. Nobody got the Holy Ghost. It was completely locked up. And I said, I'm out of here. Praise God. And we went to a city, Plymouth, Massachusetts, and in a year and 3 months baptized 18 and was really starting to move. Amen. I'll tell you what, the temptation is always there to say, you know, if I just had a better job. And there's nothing wrong with looking for a better job. But if you look at it and say, I'd just be more happy. I could do this and I could do that. Oh, but listen to me this morning. Listen to me this morning. There is no such thing as a perfect situation. But there is something that is a perfect situation, and that is salvation. That is victory in God. That is our relationship with God. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, amen. Though the earth trembles and quakes, and our earth is trembling and quaking, amen. It is because of sin. But I'll tell you what, I've got a joy that's in God. Amen. I've got a joy that's in God. If that thing you desire, amen, comes to you, you're not going to be as happy as you think you are. Well, praise the Lord. Paul came to this wisdom. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, everybody said one thing. There it is again. It's there in a number of places in the Word. This one thing I do, forgetting. Everybody said forget. Amen. One old preacher said, if you're going to live for God, we had a Texas draw. Well, if you're going to live for God, a man's got to have a good forgetter. Amen. You need to get a good forgetter. Ask God to put a good forgetter into your spirit. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. If you're going to go to Wichita, you can't be driving along the road and you pass something that you think you want to see again. You turn around and go back and look at it. You go a little ways and pass up something. I got to turn around and go back to that again. You're never going to get to where you're going. You're just going to be going round and round and round in circles. And there are those in this life that cannot forget the things which are behind. He said, this is what I do. I forget. That's a hard thing to do because our mind is like a computer. And usually the things that we remember are the highs, the highest highs, and the lowest lows. Most of the time we don't remember the everyday things that we do. Praise God. Y'all are looking at me funny this morning, but that's the case. Amen. You wake up and you're at work and you don't know how you got there. Because it's just right there in the middle. You do it so often. Amen. We were coming to church this morning and instead of turning to go get Sister Annette, we went the other way. We were both talking. And by the time we got down the road, I said, oh, this isn't the right way to go. And so we went another way and we went and picked her up. Amen. We don't remember those things in the middle, but we remember the highs. How many of you this morning still remember a message that really touched your heart? Amen. Still remember that message. And maybe pull it back up and listen to it again. Praise God. How many of you distinctly remember a death in your family or something negative that took place in your life? Those things get burned into our memory. Amen. But somehow or another, we've got to learn how to forget. Amen. We've got to ask God to help us forget these things. Amen. And reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly how he lived his life. There's one thing I desire. I want God in my life. I want God to move in my life. I want God to bless me. I want God to use me. I want God to touch me. And I'll tell you this morning, that you may be out of joy because you've lost that desire today. Let's stand together this morning. I've got more that I could preach about. But Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, he said, but wait. Everybody said, wait. He told them, he said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. But they didn't just sit around talking about the job. talking about how good fishing's been lately. They didn't sit around and talk about the political situation of Rome. They weren't flipping through YouTube. They weren't spending their time on Facebook. Actually, they didn't have those things back then. They were sitting together in an upper room, and the Bible tells us they were praying. They got to a place where unity came into that body. And I pray that God will help us to find that unity. Amen. Unity between us and between one another, and unity between us and God. Amen. Because it is that unity that makes all the difference. They were praying. They were seeking God. Their desire was to have what God had for them. And the Bible tells us it was the day of Pentecost, and we can assume it was 7 to 10 days. I think it was 7 days. 7 days. They sat there and they prayed for 7 days. Because you never know when the answer is going to come. And so they prayed. You know what that tells me? That tells me they had desire. They had one thing that they desired. Oh, well, what I desire is this, that, or the other. No, the only thing that's really important is sitting at the feet of Jesus. The only thing that's really important is touching God. Because chapter 2's coming. Chapter 2's coming. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, they were told by the Lord to wait, and they waited. And then chapter 2 comes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh, praise God. That's what I want to hear more than anything in the church that I pastor, is to hear a sound from heaven. Praise God. We've been desiring this. We've been reaching out to this, but I'm afraid this morning. Can I just be honest with you? Can I just be honest with you this morning, with all of us here? Amen. I think that maybe the troubles and the situations that we have faced in recent years has made some to say it's over and it'll never happen. But I'm telling you what, you're listening to the wrong voice. What we need to hear is a sound from heaven. And that sound from heaven is a move of the Holy Ghost. The sound from heaven is going to be speaking in other tongues. The sound from heaven is going to be the preaching of the Apostle Peter. Amen. And people getting saved. You say, well, nobody's getting saved. I refute that this morning. It wasn't just a few services ago. In fact, I think it was Sunday night. Little Maya received the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, that's just a kid. No, it's not just a kid. No, it's not. We're teaching Bible studies. We're sowing the Word of God. We have a desire for God. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be there every day, every moment. There should be something that's there every day, every moment, and that's desire. They said it's Stone's Folly in Topeka, Kansas. They looked at the Word of God and they saw that they could receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And history tells us that they found a place to pray, and they prayed and they fasted. They prayed and they fasted. And then on a particular day, I think it was 7 or 10 days, whatever it was, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. And it opened the door for the 20th century revival, the early 1900s, all the way up until our generation today. And it all took place because somebody had an unquenchable desire to find God. If you don't have the joy this morning, you need to go on a prayer and fasting. And you need to start looking on the inside and saying, why am I not happy? And if it's because God's not in your life, you've got a remedy for that. But if it's because you're not getting what you want in this life, there may not be a remedy for that. There may not be an answer to your problem. It may be there the rest of your life. Praise God. I think of Brother Ogle, the pastor in Atchison, Kansas. I've been there to that church. Brother Ogle had a severe accident many years ago when he was in western Kansas trying to start a work out there. He was traveling down a country road in the company truck. The corn was about 8 feet tall, and he didn't see another car coming. There was no stop signs. They collided, and his vehicle burst into flames, and he was in the vehicle. And he said a man came up and pulled him out of the vehicle, and to this day he does not know who that man was. But I believe it was an angel of the Lord. And it drug him out of that burning car. And yet his spinal cord was damaged. And today he's in a wheelchair. And if you go to special services and you see him there, he'll be in the wheelchair. But every time I talk to him, how you doing, Brother Ogle? Well, I'm doing really good. God's been good to me. And he decided... Excuse me. He decided that he was going to start a school. And he's a very intelligent man, professor, very learned in chemistry and different things. And he started a school for Chinese students in Atchison, Kansas. And he's got more students than he can handle. And there he is, an apostolic preacher teaching Chinese people. What an open door that is. But he could be sitting in his wheelchair and saying, woe is me. I want to walk, but I can't walk. I want to do this, but I can't do this. And if you knew him beforehand, he was a go-getter, push, 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 push kind of person. And now he's in a wheelchair. It may never change. I've seen him prayed for at services, and he left in a wheelchair. Maybe you've been prayed for something, and you leave the house of God, and it's still there. You know what? The Lord might just be saying, get your desire on me. You can be happy. You can have joy. You can have peace. Just get a hold of that merry spirit for a little while and put everything else aside and sit at the feet of the Master. Anybody feel God here this morning? In Acts chapter 8, they're going down the road, Philip and the eunuch. Amen. And they got to the subject of water baptism. Can you believe that? An apostolic preacher, and he's talking about water baptism. And all of a sudden, there's a pool of water, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's water. And they stopped on their journey. Amen. I'm heading home. I've got to take care of the situation of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. I'm an important person. I've got to get back. I've got things to do. I'm a busy man. I'm an important man. I've got lots of responsibilities on my shoulder. But all of a sudden, the real desire of his heart was touched. And he said, let's stop everything. Let's just stop. Stop my entourage. Stop everybody. I want to go and get baptized right now. I want the Holy Ghost right now. You see, it's the matter of desire this morning. What do you desire the most in your life? Praise God. I desire heaven. I desire to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And it doesn't matter what I've got to go through. It doesn't matter what my troubles are. Praise God. I've got desire and it's going to see me across the finish line. Let's pray together right now. Can we do that? Oh, God, we need you this morning desperately. Lord, we need your presence. We need your touch. Put a desire in New Life Tabernacle to pray. Put a desire in our heart to worship. Put a desire in our heart for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, help us to see the value of the things of God and to be excited, super excited about what God is doing in this world. What you're doing in this world, Lord. And He's doing things in this world today. He's doing things here. He's doing things other places. Praise God. And I'm a little part of a big, big picture. Where there's desire, everywhere there is desire, there's progress. Everywhere there is desire, there's victory. Praise God. Everywhere there's desire. But where there is no desire, there's defeat and pessimism. But I'm not a pessimistic person. I am sometimes, but I wake myself up and get out of that. Amen. Because I've got a job to do. I've got a God to serve. I've got to stop and find a time to pray. Amen. To touch God one more time. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what makes this service this morning so exciting. It's not you. Praise the Lord. It's not the offering this morning. It's not the fact that we don't have a visitor here this morning. No, I'll tell you what is so exciting this morning. I felt the Holy Ghost here this morning. You say, oh, well, come on, Pastor. It's got to be a little deeper than that. Sometimes it goes deeper than that. But I'll tell you what, that's what I desire more than anything. That when I'm going down the road in the car, I can say, Jesus. I can just breathe His name. How many of you, when you first found Him, you did that, and you breathed His name, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost filled your car? Anybody remember that? Is it still that way today? Is it still that way today? When you're driving down the road and you breathe His name, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fills your car. Oh, what a joy it is to walk with God. What peace it is. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. You're never going to find joy in this world. There's only one thing, and that is what we need to desire. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for each and every one of these precious people today. I'm asking your hand upon our church. I'm asking your hand upon each and every family, each and every individual here this morning, those that are not here this morning. Lord, help us to have that desire to see the value of the things of God and to love it more than anything else in all of this world. We give you thanks for the word this morning in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. God's so good to us.